I'm interested in the phrase in verse 3, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see that phrase? And mark it in your Bible if you mark anything, or at least make a mental note of it. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're told in verse 3 that this divine power, the power of God, hath given unto us. These things are given unto the people of God, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we made this statement at the outset, I want to live. I want to be able to live. Amen. I don't want to stagger around in this world just existing. I want to know what it means to have life. I want to know what it means to have a purpose. I want to know what it means to do something with my life that's meaningful. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to throw my life away. But I want to take my time span on this earth, and I want to serve the Lord and do something meaningful with it. And when I think of that, I realize in these verses and around the subjects that we have dealt with for the past several Sunday mornings that God hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I don't need to go to the drawing board and try to figure out how to make this thing. I don't need to go to the store and try to figure out how to buy this piece of equipment that is going to enable me to live and to live godly, because God has already made those provisions for me. And so we've been dealing with God's divine provisions for holiness. The supernatural, miraculous provisions of God to enable us to be what is humanly impossible, yet demanded by our Heavenly Father. I want you to think about that for a minute. The supernatural, miraculous provisions of God to enable us to be what is humanly impossible, yet demanded by our Heavenly Father. What is it, preacher? Live godly. Live godly. God has equipped us to meet His expectations. Amen. That would be a good thing to jot down somewhere. The Lord gave me that this morning. God has equipped us to meet His expectations. And I thank God for that today. Do you want to please God? Are you interested this morning in serving Him? Do you have a desire to live for God today? Do you want to live a godly life? Do you want to have a purpose and a focus in this life? Then you must be acquainted with subjects in the Bible that revolve around holiness, that revolve around sanctification, being set apart for the purpose of God. You have to understand the principles of godliness and what it means to be an example and an example of the Lord Jesus as you live in this earth. And those things revolve around what God in His divine power and in His divine provision has given unto us, amen, concerning a walk with the Lord and living a holy life. We talked about the commandments. We preached about that about 5 or 6 weeks ago. We preached about how it is a supernatural work for the commandment of God to be in your heart. You may have the Bible in your hand this morning and it not be in your heart. You may have the Bible in your head this morning, but it not be in your heart. You may be, amen, hearing the Bible today. Are you listening to me? Some of you are not. But there may be somebody here today that's hearing the Bible, but it may not be in your heart. You may even be heeding the Bible. You may be trying to practice some of the principles that are found in the Word of God. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Amen. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You may be acting upon some of those principles and upon some of those truths, but yet the Word of God still not be in your heart. But the supernatural provision of the commandment of God is that the Bible is in your heart, and through that it allows you the power to be godly and to be holy. And that takes a work of God. The Word of God is not going to be in your heart unless you as an individual have been to the altar of salvation and been born into the family of God. We talked about the negative subject of chastisement. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, and how that God deals with our heart and works in our life. And in that chastening process, he corrects us. Why? Because he loves us and he cares about what we are and who we are. And then we took you to the shadow of the cross, where Jesus is hanging between heaven and earth, dying for the sins of the world, paying the debt that no human being could ever pay, and providing the sacrifice and the blood that would atone for the sins of the world. And the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And under the shadow of the cross, you can enjoy a life of godliness. Amen. You can let that life live in and through you. Then we preached about companionship, Christ in you, the hope of glory, being a conqueror, being able to overcome sin and the dominion of self and the power of the devil, and not be allured and influenced by the society that is around us, through the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have one this morning? Amen. Do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you have a time of communion? Do you have a companionship with the Savior? Do you have a relationship with the Son of God? Then last Sunday morning we preached about the counselor. Amen. How that he gives us counsel. Counsel the church of Laodicea. And how through that counseling he enables us, amen, to walk down the pathway of godliness and holiness and serve the Lord in this world. Amen. This morning I want you to go to John chapter 16. And I will admit, before I begin reading these verses, that it would be an impossibility this morning for me to be able to take the subject that is before us and do it any justice at all. It is so vast, it can be dealt with week upon week. Just the outline that the Lord has given me revolving around this theme, things that pertain unto godliness, just looking at this Spirit of God that God has given unto us, that allows us the privilege and opportunity to be godly and to be holy. I mean, just in the aspect of living for God, influenced by his reality in our life and in our heart, is just mind-boggling when you look at the Bible. I have numerous verses I want you to turn to here in just a moment, and I don't want to bore you with a lot of reading today, but I want us to get a handle on this. Amen. If I could just get a few young men and a few young ladies to leave this building and realize, you know, I can live for God. I can be what God wants me to be. It's not something that I got to have my mother and dad to do for me. It's not something that I got to do within myself. But God, the God, I'm talking about the same God that gave me air to breathe this morning, the same God that's put a shelter in my life, the same God, amen, that let it rain on the just and the unjust, the same God that's made every provision that I need in life, is the same God that is going to enable me to live the life he expects. I'm telling you, if somebody could get a hold of that today, you could leave out of here and you'd smile when you sang in the choir tonight. You'd lift up your hand when something touches your heart and your soul, and you'd magnify the Lord of God, the Lord God of heaven, amen, because what he has done and what he is doing. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Provisions of holiness. That's what I'm preaching about. All things that pertain unto godliness. You say, well, preacher, the Spirit of God's not a thing. Well, the Bible said in the book of Romans, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Amen. So don't go there with me, all right? Don't try to argue with me. I believe the Bible, amen. Oh, some of you just fell off your pumpkin, amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits. Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. And so God provided, amen, a part of himself, a part of the Godhead, amen, to allow us the ability to live godly. And so we've looked at the commandments. We've looked at chastisement. We've looked at the cross. We've looked at companionship. We've looked at the counselor. I want to talk to you today about the comforter, amen. The comforter that allows us, amen, to live godly. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And to unveil in one message his position, his work, his ministry in the world and outside the world would be an impossibility, and we all know that today. But I want us for a few moments to consider his relationship. His relationship in the life of the saint of God, and in that relationship, how he enables us to live godly. Amen. He is the comforter. That's what he's called in John chapter 16. Jesus, the Savior, called the Holy Spirit that lives within every child of God. He called him the comforter. You know what that word means? It means paraclete. That is the Greek word for comforter. That don't mean anything to many of you. But the word paraclete is a word that has great meaning to it. I don't have time to dissect every aspect of it. But it means that someone has been summoned to one's side as an aid. That's what the word comforter is. It is illustrated, I've heard it illustrated this way and read it as well, as if there was a ship out to sea and in great danger and in great trouble, and another ship, understanding that that vessel was in jeopardy and was in trouble, would come out of its port with the help and the equipment that was needed and pull in alongside of that ship and bring it aid. That's what the word paraclete means. It means summoned to come alongside of. And that's what the Spirit of God is. Preacher, I don't know if I can live this life or not. I can answer that question for you. You can't. I don't know if I can do this or not. You can't. I agree with you. But I'm telling you, we have a comforter. We have one that is able to help us and strengthen us and work in us and through us to glorify the God of heaven. Amen. And he has been supplied. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I go not away, he will not come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. Amen. And so we know that reality took place on the day of Pentecost. And so God the Father, God the Son, has not left us comfortless in this world, but he has given us of his Spirit. So what does that mean when it comes to me living godly? First of all, you need to understand that there is no hope of godliness outside of being born again. You see, the Spirit of God only indwells those that have been saved by the grace of God. And I'm confident that I preach to a number of people, whether it be by radio or by internet or even in this church, that are trying to live a life that is not directed and is not motivated and influenced by an inward work of the Holy Spirit of God. They know nothing about spiritual matters. Brother Keith was testifying a while ago. That's what I was meditating on this morning in the message. He talked about the light coming on and understanding. And I thought today, I said, Lord, would you please let somebody understand what I'm trying to come across with, what I'm trying to say, that the light would come on and they would get a glimpse of the realities of these truths so that they could live godly, so that they would quit trying to live in the energy of the flesh. If they're not saved, get to an old-fashioned altar and cry out to God. Have their desires changed. Have the Spirit of God take His abode up in their heart so that they would not live their entire life in misery on this earth and then die and go to hell without God. What a shame that would be. Wouldn't it be a shame to be a Muslim today? Live your entire life and be willing to take your own life for the cause of your religion and then wake up in hell. Wouldn't it be a shame to die that way? Wouldn't it be a shame to wrap your life up in Mormonism and in Protestantism and Catholicism and every other kind of ism in the world and try to live your life in misery all your days and wake up one day in hell because the Holy Spirit doesn't live in your heart? But I'm glad, thank God, that there is life in the Lord Jesus. And I'll close out with that here in about 2 hours if the Lord will help me. Amen. But He is our comforter. And He enables us, amen, to live godly. He came alongside of us and summoned us and aided us in our walk with God. First of all, when we consider this thought, I understand again that the doctrine of the Spirit of God is so vast. And I understand that when we look at it in the Word of God, there are so many facets and so much work going on done by His hand. But first of all today, I want to say He governs toward holiness. I want you to think about that. The Spirit of God entered into your life when you're saved as a governor. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I could quote it, but I quote it often. But let me read it to you. I want you to read some of these verses. We're going to read several verses. You just bear with me. You can gripe about it when you get home. Amen? And it'll be fine, I reckon. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want to talk to you about how that the Holy Spirit governs toward holiness. All this foolishness that's going on in this religious world that people blame on the Holy Spirit of God is a farce. I feel the Spirit leading me. Huh? You listening to me? I don't no more believe that than a man in the moon. Me and my wife was in the motel here a couple of weeks ago, turned on that religious broadcast just to see what's going on. Amen. It'd take 20-ton hydraulic cylinders to open that woman's eyelids up. She's got so much makeup on them. I mean, she's got to have a hydraulic pump hooked up somewhere just to lift her eyelids up. The Spirit's moving. Yeah, there's a Spirit moving you, man, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't say that, preacher. I know you wouldn't. That's why I'm saying it, and you're sitting there listening to it. Well, I was caught up in the Spirit. There's been men say they saw Jesus. The Bible said no man has seen the Lord. Well, they said the Spirit led them. The Spirit didn't lead them. He governs toward holiness. Amen. You believe that? Amen. I do, because the Bible said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, because you're bought with a price, because the Spirit of God dwells in you, because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, your body is, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Who's in control of your life? Amen. Amen. That's what a governor is. A governor is somebody that's in control. It's the Spirit of God controlling your life. Joseph, who's controlling your life? John Taylor. Who's controlling your life, Travis? Who is in control, Brother Wells, of who you are and what you do? Who's in control of your family, Brother Roger? Brother Carl, who's in control of the decisions that you make and the places you go and the things you do? Who's in control? I'm real interested in who is in control. because the Spirit of God is a governor toward holiness. And if He's in you and you have yielded to His authority and you have yielded to His governing, I'm telling you, you won't have nowhere near the trouble that you're having right now living a godly life. Amen. He's a governor. That means He's in control. You know what else He does? He conforms. A governor conforms. I mean, we are what we are in America, amen, right now, and we are what we are right now in comparison to what we used to be because of government. We have been conformed to what we are politically and economically as we sit in America right now. We have been conformed to everything we have been conformed to because of government as a country. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's a governor in the child of God's life. And so my point is this morning is what has He conformed you into? What do you look like? What do you talk? Who do you talk like? Who do you dress like? Who do you walk like? I mean, just exactly who is it that is molding your life and making your life and governing your life? What is going on in that control? Huh? What is going on in that control? Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 26. Romans 8, 26. You there? Now notice who He's talking about. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, there's that word that will make you nervous if you're not careful, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He, talking about the Spirit that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Talking about the Spirit. And we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom he did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's talking about the Spirit of God, and He's talking about what God is going to do with us with the things that happen in our life. When we pray, we groan, we hurt, and we call out to God, and the Spirit of God makes groanings for us and prays in our behalf as the comforter, as the aid, as the paraclete that comes alongside. But in the process of all that is going on in our life, whether it's trouble, whether it's trial, whether it's triumph, whether it's tragedy, every bit of it, as the Spirit of God governs our life and controls our life, at the same time can conform our life to the image of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that make us holy. Amen. Now that is a supernatural work. That is living godly based on supernatural, miraculous things. The Spirit of God. You can't generate that. You can't make that happen. Jesus sent Him. And He's here and He's very active and He's very much at work. So He governs. So first of all, and I could preach all day about that. He governs toward holiness. That means He controls. That means He conforms. Secondly, the comforter that is given unto us as a provision of holiness guides in holiness. If you go back to your text in John 16, in John 16 in verse 13, He says, howbeit when He, speaking of the Spirit of God, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Is everybody on the page I am? But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. He guides in holiness. And so when I speak of the Spirit of God who's in you if you're saved, guiding you, He guides you in truth. Now I've been preaching for a long time. I've been pastoring for 20 some odd years, 25 years, preaching probably for about 30. I've heard a lot of people say that the Spirit of God has told them to do a lot of things. Some of it was completely contrary to the principles and truths of the Bible. good men. I've heard good men say, the Holy Ghost impressed my heart to do thus and so. But this Bible says that you're to try the spirits to see if they be of God. And there's only one way to try the spirit. And that is with the rule of God's word. And so I want to say first of all this morning that in his guidance, he guides in truth. If you feel like the Lord is dealing with your heart about something with his spirit, the spirit of God is dealing with your heart about something, you men of God listening to me, you preachers listening to me this morning, if there is ever a time when you feel impressed of the Holy Spirit that God is working in your life in some fashion or some direction, the first thing you need to do is grab your Bible and start paying attention to what you're reading every day and sincerely praying earnestly. Because the Lord is never going to allow the Spirit of God, which is a part of the Godhead, the triune existence of God, he's never going to allow the Spirit of God to direct or to guide in any way, shape. It don't make no difference what the culture changes. It makes no difference what the continents do, the countries do, or the counties do. It makes no difference how prevalent some particular sin may be or how prevailing the attitudes and actions of those around us may differ. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is always going to direct and guide, amen, with the only weapon that he has, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
Much emphasis on the Bible. You can put much emphasis on the Bible, gentlemen, and you can live by just like any other religious man, living by oracles, living by precepts, living by books, living by verses. But this book is a book that's alive if the Spirit of God's in your heart. If the Spirit of God's not in your heart, this book will kill you. It'll put you in the grave. It'll beat you down. It'll condemn you. It'll judge you. But if the Holy Ghost of God lives in your soul, that book will come alive. That book will be real. You'll crave it. You'll desire it. You'll thirst for it. You'll hunger for its truths. He guides in truth. Well, I know a church down the road and they're good people. He guides in truth. He guides in things. Verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Amen.
He'll guide you in things.
Amen.
Does the Holy Spirit ever give you an idea of the things that's going on around you?
Amen.
Are you able to stand back and see things? He'll guide you in things. I could preach on everything right here. And you know I could preach on everything. Everything. The things of the world. Well, all that preacher does is preach on things. Well, the Spirit of God, amen, he's going to show you things. John, in the book of Revelation, bear witness of the things he saw. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? And so things are very relevant. The things of the world. The things of the flesh. You listening to me? Things. The things you say. The things you look at. The things you listen to. The things you wear. Are you listening? The Spirit of God will guide you in things. Some of you are scared to death of that. And the only reason you're scared to death of it, and I'm not, is because something's wrong with who's living in me and who's living in you. There's a conflict somewhere. And I'll talk to you about that conflict here in just a minute if I have enough wind, enough voice, and enough strength to get there. But I'm going to tell you something. Y'all boys get real tore up about things. when the preacher starts harping on your music and your hairdos and your dress standards and your wicked language and your jokes and your filthy attitude and the off-color remarks you make and the things that are not pertaining to godliness, not wholesome words, things that are wicked, things that are perverted, things that are unholy, things that God is not pleased with, things you didn't want your mama to hear you say, things you didn't want your daddy to see you do, things. You don't need a Bible. You don't need a daddy. You don't need a preacher or a mama. The Spirit of God is going to show you some things about things. You can just stand back and take a look, and the Spirit of God will reveal unto you where things are headed, show you things to come. Hey man, this is an outline. Right here it is. You ready? It's coming from above. Amen. He'll show you things you're to hate. He'll show you things that are holy. Amen. Amen. He'll talk to you. He'll show you things that are heavenly. Amen. He'll let you know things you're to, amen, hear. Show you things to come. He can show you things that's going to happen. Y'all writing this down? Somebody write that down. Amen. So I don't forget it. He'll show you things. Huh? I'm going to tell you what. We just didn't jump off a value in life and a country of morals and a nation of liberty and dive into millions of babies being slaughtered right now as we stand and speak. That just didn't happen. Things took place that brought us in a slow, progressive way to where we're at, further away from God and the Bible. And there's been men throughout the years, brother, that have stood in pulpits like I'm standing today with an open Bible, screaming as loud as they can scream, hollering with all the passion and power that they can holler with, that this is where the world's going. This is what Hollywood's doing. This is what the music's doing to our children and our young people. This is where we're headed. Stop, stop, stop. Warning lights, red lights, don't do it. Don't go there. Men, preach. And preached, and that's where we're at right now. And there's a world that's been slumbered to sleep with the sins of the flesh and the wickedness of the world and the pleasures of sin. And that's why we are where we are tonight, because nobody would listen to a spirit-filled preacher, a man of God, that the Holy Ghost had anointed to preach, and he showed him things. Things about your hair, write that down, amen. Amen. He's a governor. He guides in truth. He guides in things. And then he guides towards something. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. He's going to guide you towards someone. When somebody tells you that they have been dealt with, spoke to, worked in by the Spirit of God, Jesus will have the preeminent place in that entire picture. Because this Bible says that he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall do, he will glorify me. Jesus said that the Spirit of God is going to lift me up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That drawing power is of the Spirit of God. He exalts Jesus. And so he's going to guide you toward Christ. Have you ever been drawn toward him? I'm going to tell you something. If the Spirit of God begins to move in my heart, and I'm going to tell you something. What does that mean, preacher? What does that mean? I really am confused. I really just don't know what you're talking about when you talk about, you know, the Lord bless you and the Spirit of the Lord worked in your life. I tell you what, I pray, and I try to pray as consistent as I can. Lord, let me and my wife as a union enter into your gates with thanksgiving, in your courts with praise. Let our heart and our mind be toward God. I don't come in here and try to put on a show. I don't come in here and try to be fake. I come in here and try to, by faith, obey the Word of God. Amen. If I came in here drunk, you'd run me out of here. We don't want no drunkard as a preacher. But if I came in here dead and had no praise on my lips, no heart of thanksgiving toward God, no emotion toward the Lord, no praise, no worship, I'm fine. Y'all be good with that because I'm just like the rest of you, most of you, 90% of you. But God forbid that I come in drunk. But I'll guarantee you, you'll be hard-pressed to find more scriptures on drunkenness than you will on praise. One negative, the other positive. Somebody help me. Amen.
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 Amen. You listening to me? He guides us toward the Lord. What does it mean to be blessed, preacher? What does it mean when you say the Lord's touched your heart? I'm going to tell you what, when I was sitting right there, the Spirit of God comforted my heart. Came, you know what he did? He came alongside of me. I was sitting right there where Johnny's sitting. And they began to sing just a minute ago. And the Holy Ghost just sat right there and said, "Mercy reached down." Do you know how far you were? Do you know how far down you were? And I was sitting there saying, you know, I really don't know. I don't have a clue how far I was away from God. I don't know if it was a mile or a million miles. I don't know how deep I was in the ditch. I had no clue how far away I was from God. But I know one thing. So I tell you what, I don't know how to tell you how far away you were. But I just want to let you know that mercy had a long enough arm to reach you in the depths of sin and snatch you from the brands of the burden and sever the cords of iniquity that had you bound. And I'm saved this morning. Thank God, been born in the family of God. And I have spiritual life today. Do you? I'm alive this morning. Praise God, spiritually alive. I probably ain't slept 3 hours last night. And I woke up this morning. My wife had messed the clock up. I said, call Rebecca, tell her I'm going to be late. I'd woke up at 1:30, got up. Woke up at, I think, 2 or 3. Got up at 3:30. Got up at 4:30. Fighting and tossing. Got one of them breathing machines the other night. I did jerk the mask off 4 times. Throwed the whole machine out in the yard. Or not out in the yard, but out in the... I don't know how things got a cord on it long as this church is. Not unslung a thing out in the middle of the floor in my sleep. But I'm going to tell you what. I might not have slept last night, but I sure feel good right now. Yeah. Praise God, I've got life! Hallelujah! Because the Spirit of God took me to Calvary just a moment ago and let me know what Jesus done to save my wretched soul. He took me by way of the cross and said, there's how far mercy reached. It reached all the way from earth to glory. Amen. To snatch you out of the pits of hell. Amen. The Spirit of God will always take you to the cross, and you can always rejoice in what Jesus has done. Amen. 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 I'm going to stop right there. I got 2 other points, but I can't preach them a way farther than I can go right now. Are you holy? Do you have a desire to live godly? He's the governor. I want to ask you young people tonight, honestly, or this morning, honestly. I want you to honestly answer this question in your heart because you need to get this settled. Who is governing your life? Who is it? Is it the rules of a Christian school? The concepts of a religion? The oversight maybe of a pastor. The authority of a mom and dad. Is that all that's governing your life? That's all that governs you. You're in deep trouble. Oh, you might be fine right now for a little while. But when it comes to eternity, you got deep troubles. The Spirit of God is a controller. He's not a control freak. But he does control. He lives within you. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. That's government. Amen. He conforms. He guides in truth. He guides in things. He guides toward Jesus. Listen to me right now. Are you listening? If you are not saved right now as I speak to you, and you would honest in your heart say, "Preacher, I don't understand a lot of things, but I know deep in my heart, if I were to step out this building and never see another day, I'd die without God." And you're troubled in your heart? I'm not troubling you. It's not my preaching that's troubling you. It's the word that has been preached and the Spirit of God that is trying to awaken you, as Brother Keith said earlier, to your condition and the need of a Savior. I can't save you. You listening to me, you young people listening? I can't save you. You can come to me and talk to me about your soul all you want to, and I can try to take the Bible and help you as much as I can. But Jesus is the only one that can save you. It is the Holy Spirit that is the only one that can bring you to Christ. Here's what he said in his word. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up," what that means is, if men will preach the cross, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, paid the debt that you couldn't pay. It's more than just an emblem. It's more than just a religious insignia. It is the reality of the death of the Son of God for the sins of the world. And the Spirit of God gripping your heart, troubling your soul, and drawing you to Himself is conviction. It is the Holy Ghost trying to quicken you to the light of the glorious gospel. He's drawing you to Jesus, not to a church, not to an individual, not to a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, a preacher, a family. He draws you to Christ. We have a prison ministry, youth detention ministry, the Bluegrass Challenge program. In all three of those ministries, we deal with troubled people. Young men, young ladies, old men, old ladies that are in trouble. Tell you what I could do. If I could go to Fort Knox and bring the Bluegrass Challenge Academy together, every kid in there, I could go in there and preach a message and give an invitation. I could do it in such a way that I'll guarantee you, out of the crowd, I could get at least 30% of that crowd, if not probably 50 or better, to make a profession of faith. I could do that in any prison system that we preach in any week. I could go to the youth detention center and do the same thing. But all I would draw them to is psychology and guilt and my own persuasion. That's why they call it jailhouse religion. That never lasts. That never does an eternal work. But if the Spirit of God deals with their heart, He's going to draw them to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what the difference is. Here's the difference. There's a man in the Bible, you read about him in the book of Mark. They tried to bind him with fetters and chains. They set him down and tried to tame him. The Bible said they tamed him. They tried to tame him. They bound him with fetters. They bound him with chains. And he broke the chains asunder, broke the fetters, and no man could tame him. And he cried night and day in the tombs, cutting himself and running like a wild man. None of that stuff did work. But as he's standing on the hillside in a graveyard, cutting and moaning and screaming, naked and ungodly and wicked, Jesus comes on the shores of Gadara, steps off a boat, he runs to Christ. And the next time you see that dude, he's clothed and in his right mind. Amen. That's the difference when the Spirit of God draws a man to Jesus. That's how drastic it is, amen. And I'm telling you tonight, say, "Preacher, I'm in a mess this morning. I'm in sin. I'm telling you, I'm in a mess, and I'm sick of my life. I'm sick of it." And the Spirit of God's dealing with your heart. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He's the only one. But I'm telling you, He is the one tonight or today that can change your life. The Comforter has come. He's the governor. He governs in holiness. He's the guide. He guides in holiness. What's he doing this morning in your life? You young girls, listen to me right there, a whole big row of my Brother Danny, all them girls. What's the Spirit of God doing in you girls' lives right now? What about it, mamas? Daddies, what's the Spirit of God doing in your life, Willie? Right now, what's the Spirit of God doing in your life? He is the governor of the saints of God. You better pay some attention to him. Amen. If you'll just pay some attention to him, he might bless you tonight. He might comfort you. He might comfort you tonight if you just let him.